Well, hello. Thank you for joining us here today. It's good to be with you again. And I want to thank Nikki. She's the one who actually types in the cross references and the outline for you. And then I want to thank Jonathan. He's the one who takes that outline, takes this video, puts it all together in a format that you can watch and enjoy. And then he's the one who posts it. So I want to thank him for that. But most of all, I want to thank our Lord. He's the one who's given us this time. He's the one who desires to speak to us. He's the one who wants us to know Him. He's the one who loves us and cares for us. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much for this day. And oh Lord God, Your love for us. Father, Your eternal care and provision. Father, You've been so good to us. And Lord, I pray now that You'll open our minds and our hearts to hear from You. Lord, to know You better. Lord, to personally experience You, Lord, to grow in grace, Father, to be able to walk closer to You. Be with us now. Open our minds and our hearts. Father, more than anything, we want to see and know You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, it's good to be together with our Lord. And when we think about all of His love and His care for us, when we think about His work in our lives, we can't possibly say enough. And yet there is one psalm above all others that usually summarizes in so many wonderful ways the Lord's work for us. It's probably, if not your favorite psalm, certainly one of your favorites. It's the 23rd psalm. And though it's very familiar to us, you may even have it memorized, the truths there go deeper. The more times we look at it, the more times we recite it, the more wondrous it becomes, the deeper our Lord's love and care for us is shown. And so I want us to simply begin looking at this psalm today. We'll actually divide this into two sessions because there's so much here. Even though the psalm is so short, there's so much here that speaks to us of our Lord and His work, His great love for us, and all that He gives to us. And as we look at this psalm, I want us to look at it from the standpoint of what our Lord gives to us. And as we begin looking at this psalm, the first thing that we see that He gives us is a personal relationship. You think about what David was inspired to write in the very first part of the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I love the way it says there, shepherd. Not cowboy, not that they understood what a cowboy was in those days, but a shepherd is very different than a cowboy. Even though most of us probably have more of a concept of a cowboy than a shepherd is very different, whereas the cowboy would drive the sheep, would drive the cattle, and really his only concern for them was how many of them there would be at the end of the cattle drive so they could be paid off when they met the railhead. A shepherd, however, led his sheep. He knew them by name. In fact, as if you read John 10, our Lord picks up not only from the 23rd Psalm, but really the whole lifestyle of a shepherd. He spoke there how a shepherd knows his sheep. He knows them by name. He personally leads them. When they would rest at night, he himself would be the door. That is, anything that would approach the sheep would have to go through him to get there. The shepherd had a tremendous, loving relationship with his sheep. And that's exactly what the Lord wants to be. It's the word picture that He's using here to describe His love and His care for us. Not someone who callously drives the herd, but someone who tenderly loves his flock. And I love the way that David was inspired to write this. The Lord is not just a shepherd, and not just the shepherd, but my shepherd. He didn't just know that the Lord was a shepherd out of many. He didn't just know that the Lord was the shepherd, the one and only, but He knew Him as my shepherd. He knew Him personally, a personal relationship. And you see, right off the bat, we once more come to the very purpose of salvation. The purpose of God desiring to save us and making that salvation possible through His Son was not simply to deal with our sins so that we would not go to hell. That's what God had to do, if you want to use that verbiage, in order to do what He wanted to do. What God wanted to do was to bring us back into a relationship with Himself. That's the whole reason He created us to begin with. And the Lord is my shepherd means that God has desired to bring us back into the relationship with Himself. Not just where we know Him as a shepherd, and not just know Him in our mind as the shepherd, but we know Him by heart, we know Him in experience, we know Him personally as our shepherd in a relationship. And I want you to think for a moment with me. Are you in that relationship? Do you personally know the Lord? Have you personally come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you personally trusted Him? Not just as a God among many, not even just as the one true only God, which He is, but as your Lord, your Savior, your God. Have you personally trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you have entered into that relationship, how is your relationship with the Lord? I'm not asking how many committees you serve at church, and if you're led to do, you know, each of those, that's wonderful. But what He wants primarily from us is a loving relationship. And are you walking in that relationship? The eternal, unlimited God of the ages has desired to bring us into a relationship with Himself. Can you truly say, the Lord is my shepherd? And believer, are you really walking in that relationship with Him? And so what we see more than anything else, and to begin with, and the fact is this is the foundation for everything else, is the fact that our Lord gives us a personal relationship. But also as we look at this passage, we see that He gives His provision. You know, a shepherd was responsible for every need of the sheep, every need that they would have. Obviously for the food that they would need to eat, the water that they would need to drink, the protection that they would need to have from the various things that would harm them, hurt them, or devour them. But it was the shepherd's responsibility to meet those needs. And our Lord, bringing us into that relationship, He has made it His responsibility to, in fact, meet our needs and to provide for us. In fact, as we look at this psalm, we see that He has provided for us in terms of the physical provision. You think about what we read in the latter part of verse 1, going through verse 2. He says, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. The word picture there is beautiful, and it's a word picture straight out of the life of a shepherd, meeting every single need that his flock would in fact have. And what David is saying there is, David, remember, his background was as a shepherd. In the same way that I have taken care of my flock, in the same way that I have made sure that they were fed, in the same way that I have made sure that they were watered, in the same way that I have taken care of them and every single need that they have, in an even greater way, in a more wonderful way, God has met my need. Isn't this exactly what the Lord has promised that He'll do for us? You think about Matthew chapter 6, and you may recall that passage where our Lord talks about not being worried or anxious for anything. And He even gave the illustrations. He gave the illustration of the birds of the air, and He said, look at them, your Father feeds them. He gave the illustration of the lilies of the field. He said, your Father clothes them even better than kings. What do you have to worry about? And He went on to say in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He provides for us, and He provides for us in the best way for us. More times than not, that's by giving us the skills, the talents, the opportunities to use those, the physical strength to put them to practice. But God meets our needs. He provides for the physical provisions that we have. But even greater than the physical provision is be the spiritual provision. Think of what we read in verse 3. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. There is so much in this verse. Obviously, salvation, that ultimate work of restoration, where He takes us sinners and all the scars that go along with that, and He cleanses us and makes us whole, makes us new. For the believer, the ongoing cleansing in our walk, where when we sin, we don't lose our salvation, but we lose fellowship. And he does that wonderful work of cleansing. He does that wonderful work of restoration. You know, I love old things, whether it's cars, airplanes, old watches, firearms, whatever. And I love to see something that was neglected and thrown away, made and brought back till it's new and even better than new. That is what our Lord does with us. He recreates us. He makes us a new creature in Christ. All things are made new. And in our ongoing walk, he cleanses us and makes us new and fresh in him. All for his ultimate glory, not just for our benefit, but we exist. We were created and we've been recreated through redemption, and we are daily restored as we confess our sins for his glory. You know, in spite of all the focus and concern we have for the external, and certainly we need to take care of ourselves to the best of our ability, it is the internal that's really important. It is the internal that is really ultimately eternal. Now, we will receive new bodies one day. But it is in the internal that we can experience the eternal, that is, understand it and appreciate it. That is where our experience lies. And it's only Jesus Christ who can save us. And again, I want to invite you, if you do not know him as your shepherd, place your faith and trust in him. And believer, it's only Christ. We need to remember that as we live in this world. And if anything of the events of the past year should have taught us, it's this, that only Christ can fill and satisfy. In a year where we've had to stop doing just about every single thing and everything has been changed, we've been reminded that the only thing that's never changing and the only thing that really has any lasting eternal value is, in fact, Jesus Christ. You think about what the Apostle Paul was able to write in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 7 through 8, where Paul had described all that he supposedly had going for him before he came to know Christ. And you think about what he wrote in verses 7 and 8. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. Only Christ can fill us. And he not only fills us, he wonderfully overfills us. You think about this shepherd, the personal relationship that he brings us into, his personal meeting of our provision, the physical, the internal, the spiritual. Again, I want to ask you, do you know him? Believer, are you walking with him? Are you letting him make himself real? Are you experiencing the wonderful care of the shepherd? Because that's what he wants you to have. David's experience is not to be unique. I mean, obviously David had a unique calling. I'm not taking away from that, a unique time. And God made him wonderful, unique promises. But David's experience of walking with the Lord and knowing him was not to be unique. It was to be an example, a picture, an illustration of what God intends for us. Do you know the shepherd? And are you letting him guide you? Let's go to him in prayer. Father, you are the living God and a wonderful Lord and Savior. And, O Lord God, you are the wonderful shepherd. You deeply love us more than we can ever imagine. You perfectly provide for us, even though we wonder and question and doubt. And, Father, you wonderfully overfill our hearts and our lives. Father, we thank you. We love you. Help us to grow in our relationship with you. Help us to know you better, to love you more, and trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as you go through this day that you do have a wonderful day with the Lord. And I hope that you personally experience the shepherd's love and care today.